Blog Talk Radio.
People of Earth, attention. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet.
Good evening. Nobody here yet. And welcome to Eerie House Radio. Come on, you got to be here. It's working. Whoa.
Wait, just because we can hear us doesn't mean it's working right.
Well, you know, Dave, you've got something there. God, I love Blog Talk, I'll tell you. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. We're wrapping up our alien fighting weekend. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I am accompanied by
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And Dale, I remembered, Foggs is going to be on the road or something. He will be listening to us, but he won't be able to correspond. But
yeah, no worries.
We can say, hi, Foggs.
Hiya, Foggs. Hi, hi. And thanks for listening, as always. Another good CBS radio mystery program to fit our topic tonight. And
unfortunately, this is not a E.G. Marshall story.
Yeah, it's a Tammy Grimes.
It is a Tammy Grimes. Yeah. The story's okay. Part of my problem with Tammy Grimes, well, you know, I think a guy could be more dramatic for these types of stories. But the other part is I kind of have a hard time, especially through some of these older recordings, understanding what Tammy Grimes is saying.
Yeah.
And part of it is her delivery. It's what she is and who she is, but it is, I guess, distracting to be able to understand always what she's saying. That's what I have. This is a really good recording tonight, so it's a little easier to ascertain, but it isn't always that easy because, again, these were recorded from people who were fans of the show and were having them and trading them and trying to get all the episodes, and finally they've been amassed over the years to have complete collections available over the internet.
Well, and, you know, this episode is not that old. Whoa. Whoa, there's spacey music there. Yeah, it's not that old. What, 1982, I think this one's from tonight.
Right.
I did a little homework, Dave.
I think about the last three quarters of a year. So I think at this point, Hi Brown already knew it was coming to an end. E.G. Marshall was leaving, and he said, you know, Tammy, can you come in and help this finish out? But I'm wondering, you know, I always have this doubt if there were a particular type of actor, or like even some of these other things, like the guy that does the Crypt Keeper, or the guy that does the Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue, someone like that would come in to take it over. You know, would the show have maybe picked up? And although they did have about 3 million listeners a night when CBS stopped it.
You're right. John Kassir would be good, Dave.
he would be good.
He was he was great in Tales from the Crypt and the cartoon version of it as well. You know there was
of course, you probably couldn't have afforded him, but if you get someone like James Earl Jones or someone like that. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Dramatic. Oh, God, that guy's voice is like velvet. Yeah.
I heard it as smooth as Velveeta is what I always heard. But, okay.
Velveeta. But not cheesy. No way. And Dave, I think, and I've mentioned this in a couple of our ads, and I think even in the show description, I like to think of this 50s and 60s and maybe even 80s science fiction as training films or training material for the...
We'll
be ready.
Be that, you know?
We'll know all their dirty tricks, man. We'll be ready for them.
The aliens won't have a chance.
Yes, and so will you, good old Bob. Thanks for joining us live. Foggs is with us, but he's on the road and unable to log in safely. So we like him to keep around, so be safe and just enjoy your trip over today.
Yep, yep. And as we say here at Erie House, look out for that tree! Oh, okay, sorry.
No, I thought that was George of the Jungle. Well, anyway. Watch out for that tree.
We went down memory lane with those things in the serials last night, didn't we? That was fun. If you didn't hear it, because of General Mills Adventure Theater, parts that you could hear on this show, I mixed in all the old General Mills commercials, as they generally were on there. Of course, they did have public service announcements, things, but their lone sponsor for 1 year was General Mills. And so we put in all those General Mills. So go back in the archives and catch that one, along with all the others.
Yep. We got a whole lot of them. There is a whole lot of radio. We'll be coming up on our 800th show soon. What is tonight? 793, I think. All told.
Yep.
Of Erie House Radio in one shape or form or another.
Yeah, that's quite an accomplishment, I think. When you get into entertainment of all kinds, you know, a big milestone is usually 100 episodes of something, you know?
Yes.
It's usually a big milestone, though. We're about to hit that times 8.
Just if we go at the pace we're going, okay? Sometime in 25, I believe, at the end of 25, we should hit our 1,000th show. So the end of next year, I believe, when you count all the holiday extra, you know, the Halloween week shows, we always get a bunch more in there. And Dave will be tallying probably for the 800th show, I hope, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, elbow, elbow, that maybe we could also report how many radio programs we've played, and maybe some clips and songs and stuff, too. Who knows?
At that point, either during our 800th show or just before it, we will have shared our 1,500 complete radio show. As, you know, that doesn't even count the clips.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
countless
count
clips, sound bites, and goofiness. Crap we've made up ourselves.
Actually, I don't even count ourselves stuff in there.
Yeah,
I don't.
Oh yeah, you know, doesn't count.
That would require more than what we have now. But yeah, so right about there, just before or on our 800th show, we'll have finished 1,500, sharing 1,500 complete radio shows.
Oh, and Gar, if you're listening, count up all the morals you've done. Go ahead. We'll wait.
We can't wait for that. He's already taken off his socks and shoes, Dave.
I would estimate off the top of my head, I mean, we weren't doing morals from the beginning when Gar joined us, but it wasn't too long afterwards. I'll bet you at least there's 400 or 500 different Gar's moral of the story.
Oh, yeah,
of actual Gar, and who knows how many Garless morals there have been too. So.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing we wouldn't count most nights.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe listing all this stuff is like reading somebody a sentence in court. But
3rd degree down in Cuba, you know.
And as far as we can tell, there's much, much, much more to come. Because of all those shows, they were all different. And we don't really have, we're not real motivated to do any repeats just yet. I mean, nowhere close. That's 7 years in, and we're not ready to go nuts with the repeats. Maybe once in a while, War of the Worlds, when we run out of various ones. But so be it.
Well, and with exceptions, if somebody comes through and they have their favorite shows that we've had and you'd like us to share those, we could do a favorite show for a listener. Let us know on the Erie House page.
Yeah, listeners unite. Go on over to the Facebook Erie House page. Tell us what you like, if you want us to repeat anything that we've played in the past or just something maybe you haven't heard in a while and you'd like to hear again. So, in any event, let's get on with The Invasion. CBS Radio Mystery Theater, an interesting title, and one of my favorite voice people of the era. It's called Resident Killer.
Yep.
And this one stars Mason Adams. Ooh.
Absolutely.
And
it is episode number 1386. And Dale, you've done some research. You can tell everybody when it was.
Of 1982. I don't know the exact date.
How about October 25th of 1982? How's that?
We'll go for it.
A message from the Chicago Department of Consumer Services and WBBM News Radio 78.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Hi, Snowman. Welcome.
Said that perfection is the pursuit of sweetness and light. The pursuit. Is that because the capture itself is impossible? Since the dim and misty dawn of history, man has tried to create a perfect world. So far, it has eluded him. And perhaps it's just as well. After all, if everyone were to be perfect, how could we tolerate each other?
Why should I want to kill you?
Because I'm the enemy.
Enemy? Until 10 seconds ago, we never knew each other existed.
But each of us is fighting for our planet.
True, but I am sick of fighting for my planet. I'd like to fight for me. Wouldn't you like to fight for you?
I don't understand.
Your ship. My ship. Between us, we have enough firepower to destroy the universe. Why don't we take over?
Our mystery drama, Resident Killer, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Mason Adams. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Friday on CBS...
Jock is gone, and it's time to let the court make it official.
It's 2 hours of exciting drama in special back-to-back episodes of Dallas and Knott's Landing as the entire Ewing clan gathers to hear the reading of Jock's will.
That will is going to determine who finally owns Ewing Oil, and I have a terrible feeling it's going to be J.R.
Will J.R. regain control? Find out this Friday at 9, 8 Central and Mountain on CBS TV.
Daddy was a fair man. I have a notion he provided for me very well.
Well, from smoking, my fingers are always stained, and those tobacco stains aren't easy to get off. I never gave much thought to the fact that, you know, my teeth were tobacco stained, too, until I started seeing that Topol commercial on television.
Topol Smoker's Tooth Polish, a special combination of polishing agents and a rich foaming cleaner formulated to help remove ugly yellow tobacco stains. Topol is gentle enough to be used instead of regular toothpaste.
Uh-huh. Oh, I smile a lot more now.
Topol, mint flavor in the blue package, fluoride in the red.
The following is a paid political announcement. To me, property taxes often seem really confusing. But when I have a question about my tax bill, I know there's one place I can go for help. The office of Assessor Tom Hines. The staff at his office go out of their way, and they make an extra effort to help me with my questions. I'm always treated with courtesy, and that tells me a lot about Tom Hines, the man in charge of the office. It shows he's working very hard to open his office to everybody.
That's right. Tom Hines is trying to help people understand the tax system. I learned from his office what I can do to fight high property taxes. And as a homeowner, every year I get the homeowner's exemption from him. That saves my family a lot of money. And since my parents are seniors, they also get their senior tax exemption.
This is Tom Hines. I've made it my responsibility to listen to the problems of taxpayers and to find solutions to those problems. I need and appreciate your continued support in these efforts.
On November 2nd, vote Democratic. Tom Hines for Cook County Assessor. A good man for a difficult job. Paid for by Citizens for Hines.
I know a dramatist who has been appointed playwright in residence at a large university. Painters in residence, composers in residence, sculptors, novelists, philosophers, the list keeps increasing. And as our civilization becomes more and more complex, who knows what other specialists may be in demand for residence. not just for the colleges, but for society itself. The time is 2498, 500 years into the future. Have there been many changes? Of course. Think of what has taken place over the past 5 centuries. George Barrows is having breakfast with his wife. At least that hasn't changed.
I'm told Bill Douglas has been named commander of the fleet. You have the seniority.
The council thinks he's more qualified.
But everyone knows you're better.
You're beginning to sound competitive.
But this is a matter of simple justice.
Justice, my darling, is never simple. Oh, well, now I have to go.
Where? I mean, isn't this your 4-day leave?
Yeah, I have to go to the port.
Yes?
Yeah, there are things I have to tend to on the ship.
Such as?
Very technical.
Well, you could put it on the simplifier for me.
It's quite boring.
I know where you're going. Teddy's gym. Why did you lie to me?
Because the idea of Teddy's distresses you.
You see how dangerous this has become.
Now, Ella, it was just an innocent little...
No, you claim it's all innocent. Well, perhaps it begins that way. But the fact is, you've told me a lie. And from a lie, where? Teddy's gym is wrong. You know that.
Darling, I only go there for exercise.
No, you don't. You go there to fight.
Ella, that isn't why...
You stand opposite another human being, and each of you tries to hit the other, to hurt the other.
No. It's just a trial of skill.
Do you strike hard blows?
Well...
Is it possible for someone to be injured?
That isn't the purpose.
All right, does it or does it not arouse aggressive feelings?
All right. Yes, it does.
You admit it. This boxing, this wrestling... Isn't it antisocial?
Maybe.
Oh, George, we got away from all that 500 years ago. Well, would you like for us to drift back into those savage times when it was everyone for himself and every hand raised against one's neighbor?
No, but Ella, this is such a harmless thing.
It is not. It is fighting. It cannot be permitted to exist in any form. It has no place in our society, which is dedicated to brotherly love.
There's such a thing as too much brotherly love.
George, what am I going to do with you?
You could suggest me for psych reek.
Psychic reconstruction? I really should.
Well, why don't you?
Because I couldn't be happy with anyone else.
Even though I'm aggressive.
No, stop this nonsense and give me a kiss.
Of course she's right. I'm the one that's out of step. We have to have this brotherly love, this absolutely uncompromising belief in the sanctity of the individual. Because the other thing just doesn't work. It hasn't since the world began. You can't compromise and make exceptions either. There cannot be even the slightest manifestation of aggression. I do. I'm an aggressive person, and the life we must lead now bores me stiff.
Please pass this place
do
by.
Do not attend
Please
the gymnasium.
Pass this place
Help
by.
Us eliminate aggression.
Every day, they all show up in front of Teddy's gym, this anti-aggression society. They're always out in force. Not that they'd use it. The leader was this tall, dark-haired dame, and she really was built, too. She'd make a great lady wrestler. Anyhow, she would stop me.
I love you.
I love you, too.
I love everything that lives.
I also love everything that lives.
I refuse to raise my hand against anything that lives. I refuse to entertain even the slightest thoughts of aggressive behavior. Aggression is an evil seed. Once planted, its growth...
I'm sorry. I could stand here and agree with you forever. You are so beautiful and intelligent. However, you must excuse me.
Will you accept this literature and discover how you can coarsen and brutalize yourself by attending...
So kind of you to offer it.
May you be enlightened.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
Hey, Teddy. Teddy, are you okay?
Hey, you knocked out a tooth.
Oh, let me see. No, nothing's gone.
Maybe. Numb, I can't feel anything. Ooh, your nose is bleeding.
Mm.
A little bit.
Oh, boy, that was a workout.
Sit down. Who's this, this guy, Douglas, who's just been named fleet commander?
Oh, he's all right.
Well, aren't you the senior pilot of the space fleet?
These days, if you're not a member of the Anti-Aggression Society, forget it. That's the way the wind blows.
It's starting to howl, if you ask me.
Who cares? I'd rather be on my own as a pilot where I don't have to set an example. After all, I could never come here if I were fleet CO, now could I?
It looks like you won't be coming here much longer anyhow. I'm, going out of business.
You're what?
Yeah, the handwriting's on the wall.
But you can't shut down.
I'm being forced out.
Teddy, nobody is allowed to use force for any reason.
Conditions, George. Look around you. Now, this time of day, we'd have 5-10 boxing bouts going, maybe a couple of wrestlers. This afternoon, it's just you and me doing a couple of rounds. That's the old story. If you can't lick 'em, join them.
Join who?
That gang outside with the signs.
The kooks?
Oh, Georgie. You and me, we're the kooks now. Those folks, they're the wave of the future. If you refuse to ride it, you'll drown. So I decided to close up.
And do what?
Get a job.
How can you get a job if you're not a member of the Anti-Aggression Society?
Well, I guess I'll have to join up.
Come on, it can't be that bad.
It's worse. Georgie, I got a kid in school. She's ashamed of me.
But how can you join? You don't believe in that stuff.
I will soon. I signed up for psychic reconstruction.
You're gonna be psych reek?
It's the only way you can get along in this world, George.
Yeah, well, who says this is the only world there is? I'm afraid it is the only world. Other planets in our solar system, and I pass them by all the time on routine weather reconnaissance, but I couldn't live on any of them. I mean, they're too hot, too cold, too wet, too dry. I mean, there's life. There's so many different kinds of life, but none of it's like ours. So what was I to do? Soon I'd be the only aggressive person left on Earth. I'd be considered peculiar, alien. Teddy was right. If you can't lick them, join them. I came home and I told Ella. She burst into tears.
George. Oh, George, I'm so happy. You're doing it for me.
Sure, sure.
Well, you'll develop an entirely new and exciting perspective on life.
Exciting?
A change in your entire psychological outlook. As you undergo psychic reconstruction, every last vestige of aggression will leave you. You'll know a new calm, an inner peace, a deep love for every living creature.
Okay, okay. Lead me to it.
Oh, you won't be sorry.
Look, you say you love me.
I do love you.
But once I get brainwashed...
It isn't brainwashing.
I'll be the same as everyone else.
I'll always love you.
I hope so. And so, I shaped up at Psych Reek. Although, here you had to say psychic reconstruction. The president himself was in charge.
We are gathered here to talk about love. Love for our fellow man. Love that can only exist when there is no envy, no competition, no aggression. Now, to many of you, this may sound dull, boring. Yet, what is the alternative? Hasn't history demonstrated that aggression in any form, no matter how slight or small or seemingly innocent, must eventually inflame passions that will ultimately rage out of control?
And so forth and so on, even in our sleep. They ran wires into us, and you'd keep hearing the message. You would begin to feel it in your blood, your nerves, the marrow of your bones. You could feel it seep through you, become a part of you. There was no escape from it. And then things became rough.
You are all making remarkable progress. I especially wish to commend Pilot George Barrows and Mr. Teddy Thorstadt. They will be the first to undergo laboratory indoctrination. Class is dismissed for the day. You may all go home.
You're back early.
He gave us the rest of the day off.
What would you like to do?
Nothing. Just rest, relax, without having all that stuff piped into me.
But it makes sense. Wonderful sense.
Sure.
Soon you'll believe it.
I even believe it now. It's just that I don't like it.
Why not?
Because it's against human nature. I don't care what anyone tells me. Man is a competitive animal.
But he doesn't have to be.
That's the way he is.
And that's why he has to change. Because if he doesn't, the world will end.
Okay, I hear enough of that all day.
But most of us, the overwhelming majority of us, have changed, George. And you must change, too.
Yeah, I'll change, but I still won't like it.
What's that?
The walls.
They're shaking.
It's an earthquake.
No, it can't be an earthquake. 300 years ago, we neutralized the molten core.
Come on, let's get out of here.
The house!
Hey.
It's coming apart!
Come on! Are you all right?
Yes, I think so. I can't see.
The whole house came apart.
Oh, all this dust. I can hardly breathe.
It'll settle.
How did... We're not supposed to have it.
Whatever we did. Here, hold on to my hand. Come on. We'll try to move back.
Yes.
And get some fresh air.
Yes. This is better. It is much better.
I wonder how everyone else did.
George! What? Look at you.
What?
Look.
What about me?
George.
Ella.
George, you have a beard. Your hair, it's down to your shoulders. George, you wear it. What is that?
It's skin of an animal. Ella, so are you.
Trees. What are those trees?
But this isn't where we live.
Where are we, George? What happened to us?
Here you have a married couple happily living in a luxurious home of the far distant future. Suddenly, without warning, they find themselves Stone Age savages in the midst of a jungle. What happened, and perhaps even why it happened, are the problems we shall address in Act Two shortly.
Hello, this is Max Moran. Do you have a sight problem that prevents you from reading? I've got good news for you about Choice Magazine Listening, a free service. Every other month, Choice Magazine Listening will send you, free, on phonograph records, 8 hours of selections from leading magazines featuring writers like William Styron, Joyce Carol Oates, John McPhee, Kurt Vonnegut, Art Buchwald, many others. So if you are blind or unable to read regular print, or if you know someone with this problem, write to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the special record player provided free by the Library of Congress as part of its Talking Book program. So, write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050, or telephone 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. A public service message on behalf of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund.
It's important to you. You're looking for the very best, and nothing less will do. Important things that mean a lot from your friends at Jewel to you.
Is having a wide selection to choose from important when you do your weekly food shopping? Then visit Jewel's Farm Stand Market this week for an incredible selection of apples. Over a dozen different varieties. You're sure to find one that's just perfect for you, whether it's tart or sweet. A baking apple or one for snacking. A Grimes Golden or a Red Delicious. Through Wednesday, you can pick and choose from 9 varieties of apples for just 59 cents a pound. Or take home one of 16 varieties of apples in a 3-pound bag for just 88 cents. So if selection is important to you, come to Jewel.
If it's important to you, it's important to you.
Well, it's important enough to finish, but that was part one of Resident Killer from CBS. Radio Mystery
yep.
Theater.
No aliens yet, but they are coming. No aliens yet, but they are coming.
They are coming. Keep calm and watch the skies.
It's fun. This is obviously during election cycle. We're going to hear at least one more political ad on there. And all I can say about that is at least they were smart enough to advertise on the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. If any of them political guys try coming here, this is what we're going to tell them.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's
there
right.
you go.
Well,
yeah.
That's what we're going to tell them.
Yep. Absolutely. Unless they're going to pay us a good, unless they're going to pay us a whole lot of money, then
yeah.
we might let them talk.
That's right.
For a minute. For a minute.
For a minute.
An because advertisement. We, yep.
Yeah. Politically, we don't care. It's all about
right.
the old time radio. That's all we care about. And fun and laughter.
Oh, I thought you were saying it's all about the money, but okay, I'll buy that.
Oh yeah, the money. We're just rolling it in, huh, Dave?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotta.
Yeah.
We have wheelbarrows like Scrooge McDuck. You know, we just go swimming in it. It's amazing.
I'll have you know that at least once every half a year, I get another about $1.24 from Amazon for the books that I have on sale. So how do you like that?
There you go. There you go. I know. I wish Blog Talk was monetized the way it used to because it was so simple. And all you had to do was get people to listen. You know, hey.
What'd you say? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was set up internally right here on the site. But,
yeah.
You know, they had to mess it up.
Now you got to do the hokey pokey, huh?
Yeah, that and, you know, get my Goose Down clothing dry.
Yeah.
Just like good old Bob.
That's right. Yeah, we're doing radio to dry your Goose Down clothing with. That's the great thing about Ear Hash Radio. It's so versatile. You can do anything with like that.
Prepare yourself for the impending invasion. So let's continue now. Maybe we'll get to hear a little bit of that invasion. From Resident Killer from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Man, said Mr. Dostoevsky, is a pliable animal, a being who can become accustomed to everything, and we might add, to anything. While this may be one of man's greatest strengths, it can also prove to be his fatal weakness. It's one thing to adapt to the rigors of the physical environment, but it is something else to compromise with the demands of morality or immorality.
George, what happened to us? Where are we?
I don't know, Ella.
Someone's coming.
What? Hey, he's dressed just as we are.
Who?
Oh, it's Teddy Forster. Hey, Teddy, what is this? How did we get here? Do you know?
Come here, Ella.
What?
I want you. I want you, Ella.
What do you say?
I've always wanted you, and I am going to have you.
What? Teddy, what has come over you?
I'm taking Ella.
Wait a minute. I have something to say about this.
You have nothing to say now. You shut your mouth.
What do you think you're doing?
You want to fight me for her?
Yeah.
Come on!
Suddenly, we were flailing away at each other with our fists, with rocks, with whatever came to hand. And the blows, they hurt. I mean, they weren't the sharp and stinging jabs we threw at each other in the gym. These were meant to disable, even to kill. Something flashed in Teddy's hand. I saw the knife blade too late. There was an agonizing pain as it bit into me, a paralyzing pain. All I could hear was Ella's voice in the distance filled with terror.
George, help me. George, help me.
And then there was nothing. There was nothing. I'm dead, I said to myself. I'm dead. But I wasn't. There was Teddy coming at me, sword in hand. I knew it was Teddy, even though the visor of his helmet covered his face. And there was the fight raging all around me, the fight for the castle. And I could hear Teddy shouting,
Yield! Yield!
Never!
Burn it down to the ground!
suddenly, we were in the midst of a holocaust. And there was the terrible noise of the walls collapsing as the burning castle fell in on us all. Once again, there was nothing.
Now I'm dead, I said. Now.
But I wasn't. Once again, a field of battle and men fighting and falling. Suddenly, I was high in the sky aboard some primitive aircraft. I was releasing ancient bombs, and they were falling on a city which was in flames beneath me. Whether I was the killer or the one being killed, the agony was always the same. I drifted in and out of one massacre, one slaughter after another. I'd known of these things. I had read books. I had seen pictures and tapes. But they existed merely as abstract ideas. And now they were happening to me. My suffering was real. It was unbearable. I couldn't stand it anymore. Stop it! Stop it! Stop!
Only you can stop it, George Merrill. Only you.
How? How? Tell me how.
Stamp out the corrupt seed of aggression before it flowers into a fatal and poisonous plant. Destroy it. Can you do it?
Yes! Yes! Finally. Oh, finally, it was burned out of me. All thoughts of striving, competing, fighting, aggression. Something had come over me. I was a different human being in so many ways. I'd even become rather quiet. Shy.
You want to stay home? Again?
Yes.
Well, this is something new.
We might listen to some music. That is, if it pleases you.
Well, I didn't know you liked to sit and listen to music. You're not at all the way you were.
How was I?
You mean you don't remember?
It's better this way. Don't you agree?
Yes, but it's not as exciting.
You mean as dangerous?
George, you're so different.
Of course. I've been psychologically reconstructed. And I want to be perfect.
No.
What is it, Ella?
The thought of perfection, it frightens me.
Are you saying we shouldn't strive for it?
Well, yes, strive, but I hope we never achieve it, George. How dull that would be.
How do you know?
I look at you. You're perfect. You don't have a single angry or envious or destructive thought in your head.
Did you like me better the other way?
You were more fun.
You haven't answered the question.
One time I had feelings of aggression, and I went through the same psych week.
And you changed.
But I didn't become a fanatic.
Is that what I am now?
No, George, it's just...
But it must be complete, Ella, all the way. A single tiny misstep and we can revert to barbarism. You know why you married me.
I fell in love with you.
Why? Because I was different. You believed in perfection in theory. But in practice, perfection is so hard to live with. Secretly, you longed to be aggressive, but you were afraid to express it.
That isn't true.
And while you made a strong outward show of disapproval toward my aggression, you would get a vicarious thrill out of it.
I didn't.
You would lecture me on how savage and socially destructive it was for me to go to Teddy's gym. Only because there were times when you longed to go there yourself.
But that isn't true.
I admit it, my darling.
Is it so terrible to want to be just a little aggressive once in a while? Oh, yes, yes, I suppose it is.
We must be perfect or we fall back into the pit. You must try, Ella. Constantly.
Oh, I'll try. I'll try, George.
You wish to resign from the space suite?
Mr. President, I have found my life's work. I wish to teach.
A most commendable desire, Pilot Barrows.
Is my resignation accepted, sir?
Commander Douglas is dead.
Dead?
In space.
How?
Excuse me. The Douglas tapes, if you please.
Yes, Mr. President.
Watch the screen, Pilot Barrows.
Where is this?
Space.
I don't see any familiar signs.
Yeah, this is not in our galaxy, or even our universe. It's far beyond any area you've ever been requested to patrol.
But why? What was he supposed to be doing?
His mission was, to intercept any alien invaders.
Intercept? What does that mean?
Kill.
Kill? How?
How could Commander Douglas, a dedicated member of the Anti-Aggression Society, kill? And how can you, our president, calmly sit here and tell me?
Listen, the voice tape of Commander Douglas.
Douglas to base, alien ship, range, 900 million.
Alien course.
Start our system.
Destroy. Repeat.
Destroy.
Isn't he going to talk to the alien first?
Pilot Barrows, there is nothing to talk about.
We are all living creatures. There's everything to talk about.
We cannot afford to take the chance that the stranger is harmless and holds no thought of conquest.
We could ask. We could try to learn.
And thus reveal the fact of our existence. We cannot afford to risk war.
I am now closed at 600 million.
Fire. A, B, C, and D.
I have fired A, B, C, and D.
Score?
3 direct hits. Enemy ship gone.
Why did he call it an enemy? How do we know?
I've been hit.
What?
His ship? It blew up!
He and the alien opened fire at the same time. And now, Douglas must be replaced by you.
Me? No, sir, I cannot kill. It goes against every moral and ethical...
You cannot kill because killing has been programmed out of you. You can be reprogrammed.
Why me?
You are the most skilled of all our pilots.
All this time, I thought Douglas was a true lover of all living things. But he was only playing a role. And you, our great humanitarian president, you're hypocrites, the pack of you.
It's an unfortunate but necessary hypocrisy.
Don't try that on me.
What would you have? A return to the past? To a planet armed to the teeth? A planet that accepted killing as the only means of preserving itself? This way, one man, and one man alone, roams the distant reaches of space. One man alone. He's armed. One man alone protects.
But it isn't one man. You're in on it. The base coordinator, the technicians who service the ship.
It's a small but highly trusted group.
The base coordinator. That voice, I heard it before. She's the leader of the Anti-Aggression Society.
We must have a killer. It's the price we pay.
I don't want to be that killer.
I don't want to be president either. I don't want the responsibility and the heartache. I want to be like everybody else and think happy, heartwarming thoughts. I don't want to be haunted by the knowledge of the dark side, but I am the most qualified.
I will not be the killer.
You will, because you are the most qualified. Every society needs a killer. One who is authorized to commit murder to preserve the rest of us.
There must be an alternative.
Oh, there is. We can submit to invasion. To be conquered, destroyed, enslaved.
At least that way there'll be no blood on our hands. We will be free of guilt.
And you're willing to accept that?
Am I the only pilot?
You're the most trustworthy. We're placing our fate in your hands. We are giving you the power no one else in the world possesses. The ability to destroy us.
How do you know I won't do it one day?
Well, we don't. But it's the chance we must take.
That's quite a chance, isn't it? We are giving you the power no one else in our world possesses, says the president. What was it that Lord Acton said about power? Ah, yes. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It seems to be the rule, judging from history. But all rules have exceptions. Or do they? The answer lies in Act 3 shortly.
Come to the White Westinghouse Holiday. That is the value.
Right now, your participating White Westinghouse dealer has a special cash and dash offer on selected front load washers. Get a $25 cash refund and $25 worth of dash detergent coupons with your purchase. Plus, during his holiday festival, he's offering big savings on the full line of White Westinghouse appliances. So see him today.
White Westinghouse, we're making things better for you.
Cyril introduces Mr. Buster Crabb, film actor and author of Buster Crabb's Arthritis Exercise Book.
I wrote a book on relieving arthritis pain, and I recommend Icy Hot Cream in the tube. Rub it on. Icy Hot's penetrating warmth reaches way down inside to help relieve minor pain, while a feeling of coolness soothes your skin. I'm convinced that greaseless Icy Hot Cream will give you fast, effective relief that lasts for hours.
Use only as directed.
This is WBBM Chicago. The following is a paid political announcement.
Very few congressmen are willing to look at all federal spending with an eye to savings in balancing the budget. But Congressman John Porter is. He knows some domestic programs don't work and others are wasteful. But he also knows that while our nation's defense must be strong, military expenditures must be made with common sense and good judgment. And too few congressmen are willing to stand up and be counted in strong support of clean air, clean water, and the protection of our wilderness areas. But Congressman John Porter is. He's got the best environmental record of any Republican in the Illinois delegation. And few congressmen are willing to be out front in their support for education. But Congressman John Porter is. He's worked tirelessly to preserve guaranteed student loans, special education for handicapped children, and aid to school districts heavily impacted by children of military personnel. Congressman John Porter, making the tough decisions for America. Congressman John Porter, reaching out to serve.
Paid for by Porter for Congress Committee.
John Porter for Congress. Porter.
I'll vote for him, except it was, 30 years ago, so I'm sure he's not still running for Congress.
Good time to vote for him.
When he won't make it. Yes, indeed.
When he won't mess things up.
Yep.
Any more than anybody else has.
It isn't all about love and peace and harmony, is it?
No. There seems to be exceptions to the rules for certain people.
Yep. I'm looking forward to seeing how far they're willing to go here. Yep, he's going to be out there patrolling to kill aliens before they kill us, even if we don't know they're going to kill us.
That's right. Don't take any chances with those bloody aliens, because they're sneaky, man. They're sneaky.
Almost as sneaky as 30-year-old some politicians, 40-year-old politicians. Yeah.
Yep.
Amazing. Look, what a coinkadink, I'm telling you.
Yep. Who knew? Who knew? But let us continue then, shall we?
We shall, shall we?
With the exciting conclusion of Resident Killer from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. It's been about 20 minutes.
We talk of peace as the universally to be desired state. How we long for peace. And yet we must be aware that we have never truly known it. Throughout history, what we have had at best were some relatively quiet intervals between wars. What must we do to achieve true peace? Our ancestors couldn't find the answer. We ourselves are perplexed. And in the world of the future, it appears so far that they haven't had much luck with the problem either.
But I have been programmed against it. I cannot kill.
You will be reprogrammed.
As you might imagine, there was considerable discussion back and forth on ethics and morals, means and ends. But it all boiled down to that one word that usually carries the day, necessity. So finally, I agreed to being reprogrammed. And who do you think my psych reek was for this deal? None other than the leader of the Anti-Aggression Society herself. Say, the last time I saw you, you were picketing Teddy's gym.
Let us confine ourselves to the subject at hand.
Remember? May I ask you not to patronize this establishment? Not to coarsen and brutalize yourself?
Pay attention. I don't like this any more than you do, but it has to be done for the good of society. Now, say it over and over again. Aggression is a normal, natural, and innate part of man.
But I wasn't going to make it easy for them. I really believed what I had been programmed to believe about the sanctity of life. I didn't want to give it up. Besides, if I could hold on to that belief, they would have to give up on me and choose someone else. I could lead my own life. But they were too smart for me.
Why do you resist?
This is my own basic belief. I can't help it.
You truly believe that life is precious?
Yes.
Then ask yourself, how can life be precious, be of any value, if it isn't worth protecting or defending?
Suddenly, they had found it. The question that could get beneath my skin. The question I couldn't answer to my own satisfaction. I kept hearing that question day and night.
How can life be precious if it isn't worth protecting?
And like a house of cards, my defenses collapsed. Suddenly, I had no more objections. I was ready for my very first seek and kill mission. Perhaps before I could return, I would have to take a life. Now, couldn't I actually do it?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
I'll give you the order to fire.
Why should you give the order?
So you can have someone to share the guilt. Board your ship.
Before I knew it, I was out there billions of miles away. It was a strange feeling. Here in this world without end, how many planets could there be that might support a life form that could be probing for hours? Maybe none. Maybe a few. Maybe a million. I was all alone except for her voice that tied me to home.
That course that will appear on your computer readout.
Wait.
Yes?
Bottom left quadrant. Coordinates 8730. Do you see?
Yes. You have movement at coordinates 8630.
I can't tell what it is.
After a while, you'll be able to recognize that configuration instinctively. It's a ship.
A ship?
Prepare to destroy.
Destroy? There must be another way.
There is no other way.
But
before he destroys you. Range?
Range?
Activate your range finder. Now.
A billion two.
You are getting a new course bearing on the computer. Read it. Adjust. Range.
900 million.
Prepare missiles A, B, C, D for firing.
Oh, please, can't we?
Prepare missiles. Acknowledge.
Missiles armed.
Range.
700 million. I don't know if I can.
Don't think. This is just another routine command from the base. Fire. Fire. Good. Watch. Don't sit there. Take evasive action. He may have fired at you.
I can't move. I'm sick. I don't feel well.
That's to be expected after your first kill.
Oh, don't put it that way.
You'll be all right.
I've taken a life.
You'll get over it.
Never.
After a while, you won't even think about it.
Do we really have no choice? Was this the best solution they could find? Maybe this was the only way we could survive. She was right about one thing. She said I'd get over it. After a while, I wouldn't even think about it. Well, after a while, I didn't think about it. Upper right quadrant, coordinates 3419.
Upper right, 3419. Movement verified.
Alien ship.
Range.
900 million.
Activate range finder.
Acknowledge.
Armed.
missiles E, F, and G.
E, F, and G arm.
Range.
700 million.
Fire on 6. Ready.
Ready.
Fire E and F.
E fired. F fired.
Fire G.
G fired.
Good shooting.
He's off the screen.
He's gone for good. You can come home.
She was right when she said I'd be able to do it without thinking. But she was wrong when she said I'd get over it. Once it was done, once the excitement, the fear, the suspense were gone, I was drained, completely spent, and physically ill. What was the matter with me? And then I found out by accident. I had reported to my base coordinator for debriefing after my latest mission.
Good. You got two this time. We thought Douglas was an expert, but you cover a wider sweep than he ever attempted.
Hey.
What is it?
Well, I don't know.
Shouldn't you report to medical?
It's all right. I think I know what it is. It was her right cheekbone. There was a bruise, very slight, almost invisible, but it was there. Or was it my imagination? Nope, it couldn't be. It was the kind of bruise you get when someone has struck a blow. Who would strike the leader of the Anti-Aggression Society? Who would even strike a blow at all? There was one person who might be able to tell me.
I don't know what you're talking about, George.
Teddy, I didn't want to ask her. Are you back in business?
Yep. But it's all hush-hush, top secret. They all come to me, the president, the base coordinator, the technicians. They have to.
Why?
Same reason you do. They're all killing.
Oh, no. I'm the only one who's actually...
Oh, sure, but they're part of it. Any one of them could stop it one way or another, and that makes them all equally guilty.
But why do they have to come to you, Teddy?
Oh, look at yourself, George. You're a wreck emotionally. You preach constantly against aggression, but aggression is the most vital function you perform. So you have to nourish it, keep it alive. You have to come to a place like this, box, wrestle, compete strenuously.
Are we insane, Teddy?
What can we do? It's the only way to save the world.
Whether or not it was the only way to save the world, I couldn't say. But I do know that it was the saving of me. The competitive activity started the juices flowing again. And before I knew it, I was a new man. Or maybe I had gone back to being the old one. Even Ella couldn't figure it.
You want to go out again tonight?
Why not?
It's just every night this week.
Well, I only suggested it because of you.
Me?
You said that after my psych reek, I became dull. I wasn't much fun anymore.
There is such a thing as too much fun.
I was doing my job. My job as killer. I had spotted the enemy ship and was waiting for the firing order from the base coordinator.
Fire. C and D.
C fired. D fired.
Good shooting. Come on home.
I looked at the screen. This time the alien ship had not disappeared. There was a dark, motionless blot on the lower right-hand quadrant. I was filled with a great curiosity. Who? What was this alien? I simply had to know. But it was against regulations to approach, yet I had to do it. They didn't have to know. I cut off my transmitter. I approached her quickly. She was a kind of roundish vehicle, not at all too different from my own. Who and what could be aboard her? I locked with her magnetically. I looked over her hull for the entry port. I found it. And even though I was unarmed, I lowered myself inside. There was a twisted look to everything, a feeling of death. Then I saw him. The most striking man I'd ever encountered. Raven black hair and deep green eyes. Wearing a tunic. There was a tiny trickle of blood on his forehead.
You... You are the one
who... Yes. I disabled your ship.
You destroyed it. You're lucky you saw me first. I would have destroyed you. I have better weaponry, more firepower. My world is more advanced than yours.
How do you know?
Because you have not learned to read minds yet.
You're reading my mind?
Yes. That is how we can communicate.
You're bleeding. Let me help you.
You cannot. I'm helping myself.
How?
Your missile did a great deal of damage. Inside me, my body is now trying to repair itself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the nature of the universe. Right now, my body is trying to repair itself if it can. Why don't we... Oh, but it's insane.
What is?
We should get into your ship and go to my planet and take it over.
Take it over?
Rule it. Own it. We have the weapons. Submit or we shall blow you out of existence. Then we'll go to your planet. We'll give them the same ultimatum. You and I, we will rule together.
Oh.
We, you and I, we do the work. The dirty work. Why shouldn't we? My body, it isn't repairing. I'm dying.
And he was dead. The most unusual man I had ever met. And I had killed him. I went back to my ship and headed for home.
And so, in recognition of your devotion to duty and your splendid performance, not just as a pilot, but as a dedicated member of the Anti-Aggression Society, I'm honored to present you with the Medal of Perfection. Wear it proudly.
Thank you, Mr. President. But while you have given me the Medal of Perfection, I don't really own it yet, for I, like everyone else, must still strive for perfection. I thank you.
A most gracious and modest speech, Commander Barrows.
Mr. President, do you remember when you posted me into my present assignment? I had asked you a question.
Yes, I remember.
Yes, I had asked, since you are giving me the power to destroy the world, how do you know I won't do it one day?
Yes. And do you remember my answer? That's the chance we must take.
None of us really knows the answer. Not yet. This unknown, magnificent man I murdered, he didn't know the answer either. He came to a certain conclusion after how much disillusion and frustration. And am I getting there, too? When he had suggested to me that we take over both worlds, I recall now that I didn't automatically and instinctively turn it down. Is it possible that I will actually do it one day? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
But he's thinking about it. And once you begin to flirt with a dangerous idea, it's like flirting with a dangerous woman. One thing leads to another, and before you know it, I shall return shortly with another insight into our story.
The following is presented by the National Urban League.
You know, Alan, when you walked in here and said, I want to be a salesman, I wouldn't have bet a plug nickel you could make it. Sales takes hard work and tenacity and guts. Well, I just didn't think a black man could measure up.
Too often in today's society, people are judged solely by the color of their skin rather than by what they can do. But when people are given a chance to make something of themselves, there's no limit to what they can do.
And now here you are, our newest district manager. What do you say to that?
All I ever needed was a chance. Everybody deserves a chance to make it on their own, regardless of race, creed, color, or sex. The Urban League is dedicated to achieving that, and you can help by opening your heart and your mind and giving someone that chance. To find out exactly what you can do, write National Urban League, 500 East 62nd
It'll
Street,
never
New
work.
York, New York, 10021. A public service message of this station, the Urban League, and the Advertising Council.
You wouldn't say that if you were a person.
Throughout history, peoples, nations have turned to so-called strong men and said, protect us from our enemies. Our enemies within and our enemies without. Throughout history, all the stories have had the same dismal endings. People discovered after it was too late that they had only invited the fox to guard the hen house. Our cast included Mason Adams, Russell Horton, and Carol Tytel. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Hyman!
And now a preview of our next tale.
Doctor, do you mind if we move from here to the wheelhouse?
It's quite shady there. Your eyes, yes, I understand.
No, it's not that. Please, I'll explain. Have you noticed the tall man with the rather heavy black mustache during this trip?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have too, huh? Any idea who he is? Do you know him?
Isn't that strange? I wondered if you knew him.
Because he keeps watching me, right?
Yes. You don't know him.
I think he's an American. He's a detective. And he's following me.
Well, what have you done that there should be an American detective following you across the ocean?
If I answered that question with the honesty that it deserves, Dr. McMillan, I'm afraid your eyes would pop out of your head.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by White Westinghouse Appliance Company. This is Tammy Grimes, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Tammy Grimes, okay. She's no CW.
Who's
no
CW?
Hey,
what?
Now, you know what Oktoberfest is. Of course you do. It's umpapa music and lots of corn on the cob.
Here.
What you might not know is that Oktoberfest at York Furrier is champagne Oktoberfest, with beautiful furs from all over the world. This is extremely good news. And I'm pleased to inform you that you'll see furs by the world's foremost designers, including Wagner Originals and York's own Louis Garcia. York's famous natural mink is included, as well as furs for men such as raccoon, fox, lynx, sable, with exceptional values on each and every fur.
Muskrat.
While I'm giving you all this good news, let me add that York will be delighted to hold the fur of your choice until Christmas at champagne October prices, too. I just thought that might be a pleasant surprise to you. And I will attend myself, of course, even if they do not have corn on the cob.
Enjoy big savings during the final week of Champagne Oktoberfest at York Furrier, 107 North York Road in Elmhurst.
Champagne Oktoberfest.
There we go.
That's it. Then, just in time. All I had to do was mention her name and zip, zap, poof, she's here.
There you go.
Yes, hello indeed. Fur is dead, by the way, everybody. So, no, none.
Of course it is. If it were dead, it would still be on the animal, you know?
Yeah. Oh, geez,
oh, Sorry.
Oh, dear. Now you've done it.
Uh-oh.
At least he took the heat off of me this time, Dave.
I'm usually the... Hey, for a
pal. Yeah. There she is. Sister Knuckle Buster. Sister Knuckle Buster.
Uh-oh.
Can you spare us just a moment? Fortunately for you, the good sister Knucklebuster is engaged right now. She's whittling a brand new ruler. Yeah.
Dale, that's a sound effect. You have to get a big whap. You know that says so. When CW says put out your hands, then you have to do the whap. You know.
Yep.
So that should be coming. That should be coming.
I picture her like the Mother Superior in Blues Brothers. When they went into...
I did learn something. I did learn something from this episode, though, Dale.
Oh, good heavens. Like, be prepared. That would be one thing to learn.
Sidonia might be having the ruler on me again, once again. But
oh, cool.
Better roll with it anyway. Okay.
Beware.
Hey, everyone.
Erie House Radio proudly presents A Garrulous Moral of the Story.
You can be trained for peace, and you can be trained to fight, but can you be trained for Brussels sprouts? That is the question. Exactly.
How Dave apparently feels about... I like Brussels sprouts myself.
So you're the one. You're the one.
I'm afraid that I'm also in that same league, the Brussels sprout league.
You're four or against? You're four or against, CW?
I'm four. Four.
Oh, okay.
Yes, those delicate little mini cabbages.
Yes.
Known as
mini
Brussels
cabbages.
Sprouts.
They're very cute.
Hey, Dale, I do have something I'd really like to share here. This is something I found in 1968, Madison Square Gardens in New York was opened under a new venue, and that night of November 11th, 1968, it opened up with a tribute to the entertainment factor of the branch of the army, sort of thing. I don't know, I can't think of it right in a second. Anyway,
the USO.
USO. Bob Hope and Bing Crosby did a show for that. And I have about a 15-minute clip. We have just enough time and then a little bit of extra time left over. But it was really cool to hear that from 1968. I'd really like to go ahead and share that now, if it's okay.
Sure. Fire away.
Oh, please do. Please.
All right.
Yes.
Let's fire. Here we go. It moved.
I don't know.
It's an honor to introduce this honorary citizen of New York City, Bob Hope.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Thank you. He's not only pretty, he's funny, too, isn't he? No, I think it was wonderful, I really do, that Mayor Lindsay would show up tonight, and it just proves that there's nothing one actor won't do for another. Mayor Lindsay has his own TV show, and it's quite a show. It answers the question, can a young, handsome mayor find happiness in the world's biggest tollway zone? And it's so refreshing to meet a Republican who isn't running for president. I want to say, if he could tap dance, he'd make a great senator. That's all I want. And I know him. He's doing a wonderful job. Mayor's very conscientious. He walks all over New York. He can't get a cab either. Wonderful thing to be here, ladies and gentlemen, for this opening at the Astrodome East. And it's a beautiful sight. And it's a beautiful ceiling. It's supported by 48 steel cables, so you can all relax. They got a great buy on them right after that bridge in Ohio stopped using it. I want to tell you one thing. They sure have a crazy set of trains in the basement. This place is built over the Pennsylvania Station, and I wish they told me. This morning I walked into the wrong dressing room and wound up in Jersey City. I learned one thing during this trip. Never drive down Broadway in an open car during a garbage strike. Mayor Lindsay had a very busy week. He's been smuggling garbage to Jersey in baby carriages. I heard things got so bad that people were going to the Fulton Fish Market just to breathe. Think if it had been summer, huh? Now, the trash was really piling up. For a while there, you had two Empire State Buildings. And Mayor Lindsay appealed to Governor Rockefeller for help, and Rocky sent him an air wick and a clothespin. How about the restrictions they put on travel overseas? You know, it's quite a problem. It's too expensive to travel, and we can't afford to stay here. They're going to allow $7 a day. Have you seen the new travel posters? Thumb your way through glamorous, exotic Spanish Harlem. Think of all the great things you can do in Paris on $7 a day. Like get off the plane, tip the porter, and go right home again. $7 a day. In France, they shortchange you more than that. Thank you very much. The one, the only, Bing Crosby.
In the morning, when the shadows are deep, I lie here beside you, just watching you sleep. And sometimes I whisper what I'm thinking of. My cup runneth over with love. Sometimes in the evening, when you do not see, I study the small things you do constantly. I memorize moments that I'm fondest of. My cup runneth over with love. Moment, we both will be old. We won't even notice the world turning cold. And so in this moment, with the sunlight above, my cup runneth over with love.
Really something. It really is.
Fastest place, isn't it?
Just think, this is the first time we've appeared together in New York since we played the Capitol Theater in 1932. And here we are. Here we are doing a PA together at the new Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. That's a novelty for our act, isn't it? Opening a place.
You know, being a lot of things have happened in those 30 years.
Yeah. You started hustling Chryslers for a living.
And you became the janitor at the Hollywood Palace. Listen, I sing a little and you sing a little, so
very little.
I thought we'd revive some of the oldies tonight. What do you think of that?
Oh, nice. I just parboiled a few chestnuts myself. You mean you want to take a sentimental odyssey into the Elysian fields of nostalgia? Resurrect some of the
Oh, some of the vagrant, dormant airs that we once perpetrated on an unsuspecting populace. Here he is, folks. Sun City's answer to William F. Buckley. Something. Let's just run through a few of our larger hits.
Yeah, let's wail, huh?
So. The east is east, the west is west.
Wait a minute.
The wrong one I have chose. Let's go where I'll keep on wearing those frills and flowers, buttons and bows, rings and things, and buttons and bows.
Hey, Hey, wait. That happens to be mine. Nobody sings it the way I do.
Well, yes, that's why I thought you'd appreciate hearing it done right. Get in on the new...
I just want you to remind you, Bing, that that song got me the girl in the picture, Jane Russell.
Well, that's easily explained. I wasn't in it.
Yeah, Pale Face had a lot going for it, didn't it?
I refuse to ad-lib at this level. I really don't.
Why don't you sing?
All right.
Well.
Please lend a little ear to my plea. Lend a ray of tear to my plea. And tell me that you love me, dear. And please let me hold your time.
Hold it.
Why'd you stop me? There's more.
We just answered your question.
Really, Bob, I thought that number was a little
beyond your range. You know, your vocal equipment is really a little too limited for such a challenge.
What are you trying to say?
I have an Excedrin headache.
Don't tell me, tell Medicare.
No, Bob, really, I feel a little paternal about that song. It was one of my early triumphs.
Early is right. You sang it at Georgie Jessel's bar mitzvah.
Easy, Bob, you're on shaky ground there.
Mm. Here's one of yours that came along just a couple of years later.
Here we are, out of cigarettes. Holding hands and yawning. See how late it gets.
Just like Shirley Long.
Two sleepy people. By dawn's early light. And too much in love to say goodnight.
I know you remember that one.
Does LBJ remember Texas?
Boy, I got raves after I did that song. Maybe I should have stayed the singer, huh?
Oh, it's a pity you didn't. You'd have gotten a lot more laughs.
What do you know? Don Rickles did have a mother.
Oh, those were the days. Tell me, whatever happened to that tall, lithe, lissome, bushy-haired, bright-eyed youth who sang that song?
He's still around. I see him every night on the late show.
Wouldn't you like to swing on a star?
There he goes.
Carry moonbeams home in a jar.
Tell him about it.
And be better off than you are. Or would you rather be a new... A new living animal with lump on your heels. It kicks up a fancy thing you hear.
I'm touched. I really am. You've touched me, old boy. It's so decent of you to remind the folks about the picture going my way.
You won an Oscar for that, didn't you?
Yes, and you opened a vein.
Now, Bing, I think you really deserve that Oscar.
You honestly think so?
Yeah, absolutely. Any man with all those kids who could play a priest deserves something.
For the memories of our camaraderie and working on the team and all the years of our careers that you played straight for me. I thank you so much.
How do you like that? He stabbed me with my own theme song.
Well, I do a number I get so many requests for.
I'll be right here. Make him stand out, Les.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Forgive him, Irving.
Where the treetops glisten and children
tempo, listen. Tempo, tempo, tempo.
To hear those garbage trucks in the snow.
Bob, singing that song, you've really gone beyond the bonds. You really have. You've gone too far.
Well, what'd I do?
You stepped on my royalty.
He's right. He's done better with Christmas than F.A.O. Schwartz.
How about
doing some tunes from my road pictures.
Your road pictures?
Yeah. That's like Gomer Pyle taking credit for Guadalcanal. Two patty cakes.
That's right. Nice of you to share the blame. Les?
Let me on the road to Morocco.
The desert night, the harem atmosphere.
It's the best attraction Coney Island has this year. Let's meet on the road to Morocco. Though our Brooklyn moon shines above,
I'll whisper how I love you to the strains of native flutes.
And your arms will thrill me more than all the shoot the shoots.
Tell the gang so they won't be around.
Like Webster's Dictionary, we're Morocco bound.
I have a confession to make.
What is it, my son?
I like you.
You like me?
I like you.
I wish you hadn't said that. You just killed 48 jokes.
I don't care where I'm going, just as long as I'm with you.
Put it there, pal. Put it there.
There's nothing left for me to say except I love you too.
Put it there, pal. Put it there.
I'm proud to see that you've become the nation leading wit.
Yes, LBJ and Lady Bird both like me quite a bit.
Yes, I hear they always call you when they can't get Earth a kiss.
Right, but you swear, put it there. Never seen you look so young, no more than 32.
Put it there, pal. Put it there. I just got back from old Cape Town and all my parts are new.
Put it there, put it there.
Yes, where are they?
Put it there.
Put it there. I saw your show from Vietnam. It merits much applause.
I love it over there because my jokes provoke such pause.
I know, I hear they've just signed you for 26 more wars.
Oh, no, they wouldn't dare.
Time says you've got 500 mil. Now, that's a lot of pounds.
Yeah.
Put it there.
Where did they put it, pal?
Yes, they
did. Where did they put it? I think Dolores read it too. She's digging up the ground.
Nibbly, put it there.
She's got the big spade out. She's looking everywhere.
Why don't you get her politics? It's time you took a place.
About foreign and domestic matters, I don't know a thing.
Well, then you've got it made, my boy. Just take it from old things.
You're cynical, but fair. Put it there.
My colleague.
My crony.
My cohort.
My friend.
Companion.
Confederate.
Comes to the end.
Like Lyndon and Kosygin.
Pat Brown and Ron Regis.
Like Wallace and a Yankee.
Howard Hughes and Frankie.
Boy, what a blend. Don't put it in the paper. Don't put it on the air. Don't put it on the shelf.
There you go, Bob Hope and Bean.
Whole lot of fun.
Yep.
Yeah. Nicely done. Nicely done.
Next week, we've got a bunch of queens. There's many queens, yeah. Our shows will be Crisis, Suspense, and Space Patrol. And then Saturday, we'll come back around to some more CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yes, indeed.
And hopefully our very own Queen CW will be joining us for that as well. Hope.
Yes, yes, you have our leave to rise in our presence. Feel free to genuflect if you wish.
If you wish. Oh, well.
Huzzah.
At least it's not mandatory genuflecting.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get back up afterwards. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, sounds like a medicine. Genuflectin, get yours now.
Yep.
We have it.
And coming up as soon as we're done here, we have Gar the Ghoul on them Twitches thing. He's
yep, one of the horror stories.
Twitch.
Gar the Ghoul coming up in 35 seconds. So thank you for listening to Eerie House Radio.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
How dare you?
Don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Darn funny. Time that pretty close. Pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Yes. I think a nice sound effect for our dear sister Knucklebuster and her the sister in training, Sister Whack-a-Knuckles, as well. So we have sister.
I have to tell you that you're talking about the sisters. But I thought it was great that Bob Hope told Bing that he thought he really deserved the Oscar for that. He says, you think so? He says, anyone with as many kids as you have and plays a priest deserves it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Bada bing.
Bada bing, bada boom.
I do love that movie, though, with him, The Bells of St. Mary's. Very good film.
Yeah, I think I like that better going my way, to be honest with you. The Bells of St. Mary's.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so too. The Bells of St. Mary was with Ingrid Bergman.
Yes, she was beautiful, the most beautiful nun in the world, and she was such a good person too, helping those wayward kids.
Ah, you wayward kids. And she didn't even make them go and play in traffic. Go play in the traffic, children. There
yes.
you are. Go.
And it was hard. That was before duct tape, you know?
Oh, yeah. It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Duct tape has helped many a child grow up straight and tall and silent and taped to the wall. And, yeah. Just thinking, who was it? Well, Julie Andrews didn't quite become a nun in The Sound of Music.
Nah, she was thinking about
it. Yeah.
And then Mother Superior saying, climb every mountain. Over every stream. Oh, God. Yep. And then that was it. All right, I won't be a nun. I'll go marry this dude. Christopher Plummer.
Okay. There you go. And let's see. Oh, yes, another one.
Who would later open an oddity shop, Needful Things?
Debbie Reynolds was a nun, the singing nun.
Yep.
Audrey Hepburn was a nun. Of course, then she left the order to go back into a regular life, so that didn't pan out for her.
Well, Sally Field was a flying nun.
Yes, she was.
Yes, the nun of nuns, yes. Yeah, who needs an airline? Dear Sister Betrayal, she wore over 100 hairpins in her hair to get that thing to stick. And considering she didn't have a lot of hair, that must have really hurt. Who was the other nun? Who was that other one? Wait a minute. Deborah Kerr. She was a nun as well.
I don't know if I can
offbeat
think of any more nuns right now. I'm trying to think and nothing's coming to mind.
Oh, the trouble of Dominique et Nick and Nick s'en allaient tout simplement au pied du pauvre
chanson. Yeah.
Mais en tout lieu, il ne parle que du bon Dieu, il ne parle que du bon Dieu.
They should make this into a polka.
Pretty close to it already.
I know. This would make a fine polka.
Oh, yeah.
pretty peppy little tune there.
Who stole the Kishka?
All you need for that is a tuba, accordion, and a need some lederhosen, and it's a polka.
And lots of beer.
Lots of beer. Oh, and don't forget, it's punschki season, guys.
Ah, yes, it is.
Yeah, my wife picked
that
up
dessert that looks.
My wife picked up a 4-pack just today, actually.
4-pack. Well, they got them in a 6-pack and a 4-pack.
And you never know.
I has punschki. Punschki is that delicious dessert that looks like it's supposed to be pronounced Pak Zaki.
Zaki, yeah. I remember.
I
told him. Go ahead.
No, I remember having to get some kind of medical procedure up in Amherst, and the wife was with me, and we stumbled on this, and it was Easter season, and we stumbled on this Polish bakery making the punschkis. Oh, my gosh, there were lines and lines. They had so much stuff, and it was like instant death for me. I'm like drooling at all this sugary confectionery stuff and not really able to enjoy much of it.
Speaking of changing of the seasons, I believe in your part of the universe you have a prognosticating rodent by the name of Buckeye Chuck.
Yeah.
The rival of Punxsutawney Phil's cousin about 12 times removed.
Yeah, we're not doing the coin thing. We're not doing the coin thing.
Aww. So the poor little thing's going to be pulled out of its little den, warm and cuddly. Hopefully it won't bite anybody. Yes, they've been
actually
bite people.
Actually, I have some. That summer on my property, every year, there's a tree they've dug holes underneath. It's like way in the back, and there's no horses, because actually you don't want groundhogs. If you have horses, they could step in the holes and mess up their legs real bad. But they are so cute, and there's like a wild onion that grows in the grass, because we don't fertilize in the back since we get so many wild animals, and my dog hangs around there, so we don't fertilize in the back. And the groundhogs they come all over the place and graze the land until Paladin chases them. Says, hey, you're not allowed over here. What are you doing? But they are so cute, the little babies, when they come out following the mama.
Aww.
In the spring. Yeah.
Baby groundhogs. Aww.
Yeah, we let them live here. People don't like them, but it's like they're not hurting anything. They're not near any structures anywhere. They're not bothering anything.
Well, they're out in the woods, yeah.
When they're kind of getting used to Paladin and knowing the limit of the fence, so they go on the other side of the fence and like, yeah, whatever, dude. We're just eating.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there have been instances where they've bitten. Yeah, what's his face? There was the mayor of New York, yeah, Bloomberg, he went to prognosticate with New York's groundhog. He dropped it.
Oh, no.
It died later.
Aww.
Yeah. And the next mayor after him, groundhog, I guess, got some revenge and bit him.
ours are pretty calm. They've gotten used to us. Like when my wife and I are back there without the dog, they're pretty calm. They let us get pretty close, but we just don't make them feel panic. You know, if they're starting to get agitated, we walk away. If they're comfortable, we talk to them.
I wish I had some coworkers like that.
Yeah.
No kidding. That would be great. I want to work with a groundhog. They're nice, chill, relaxed, you know.
They're chubby. They're very chubby.
the chubby. Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
They're hilarious when they run.
Yeah, he's so cute. The first time I ever saw one, I didn't know. I thought, is that a beaver? But the tail looks wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's a groundhog, someone told me.
Just
so
another type
like
of rodent with big teeth. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, if you ever saw your dental bill, you just say, forget the braces. I'll just live the life of a groundhog.
There you go.
So, I don't know. I mean, the world was, well, we're still kind of, everyone's still sort of dug out, I guess. And there's still places that are getting slammed with snow. Are you guys getting slammed?
No, not at all. It's unseasonably a little, it's been in the 40s and like light rain, you know, a little drizzle. But that's about it. And a muddy dog in the backyard. That's about it.
Yeah.
So has Palantin ever come in and before you could stop him, done the shake, 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 shake dog all over the place before you could get all the mud off of him? And
no,
you,
because...
You find you have a Jackson Pollock art piece on the wall.
He's smart enough to not want to go out when it's pouring. And his fur is so thick, he doesn't know he's wet. So he doesn't...
Oh, my.
And that gives us a chance to towel him off when he, you know, his outer coat is quite, he's very wet to the touch, but it hasn't sunk in on him yet. You know what I mean? So he doesn't,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't shake, and we haven't had too much trouble with that. It's the muddy feet. We call it stink foot. There's an area in the back where the dirt's really dark, and his feet come in and they're black, and it's like, oh no, you've got stink foot.
And he's looking at you, and the problem is?
Yeah, it's fun. Try it, Dad. You know.
So, will you be growing those unfavorable little vegetables that seem to make Dave a little nervous, meaning Brussels sprouts? Dum, dum, dum.
I like them. A little bit of butter and then maybe some, what's it called? Mrs. Dash for a little zing.
Oh.
Maybe some black pepper.
What you should try. Can't remember the exact recipe, but you put them under the broiler quickly to get a little bit of crackling on there with some butter, garlic powder.
Mm-hmm.
And they get crispy, and you get this wonderful smoky, savory. I
Ooh.
Learned this on a show called The Bitchin' Kitchen.
That sounds like a good recipe. I might want to try that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's still on YouTube. The show's no more, but that particular recipe I think is still on YouTube. It's called The Bitchin' Kitchen. Yeah. The host was Nadia G. I don't know why she gave up that venue. It was such a good show. But anyway, yeah, it is a tasty way. I think even Dave might eat a Brussels sprout made that way.
Oh. Do we have money on that?
Dave, will you eat cabbage and noodles? Do you like cabbage and noodles?
Yeah, I'm not a big cabbage fan either. Usually,
oh, cabbage
green,
and noodles is so good.
Yeah, okay, and usually if it's, my rule of thumb is if it's green, I don't eat it. You know, it's except for green M&Ms. I will depart from my.
Oh, hey, you got to watch those. You know, they have a quite a kick there. A Viagra like
yeah.
reaction, from what I understand, the green M&Ms.
Oh my!
That was a fable when I was in junior high school. The green M&Ms make you feel quite amorous.
So you had a lot of teenage boys going to the dentist, and the dentist wondered, why are all these kids' teeth rotting out, and why are they all green?
Yeah.
And why,
really?
And why is it only the boys?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
But, yeah. Well, you like coleslaw, don't you, Dave?
I do like some coleslaw, yeah. I do. And I do like I do like a little bit of green lettuce in my salads. I do like a little bit of that.
What other vegetables do you like in your salad? The standard, like cucumber,
like
tomato, stuff?
Yeah, cucumber's good. Bacon bits are good. That's a standard vegetable for my salad, yes. Croutons are good. You know, another standard vegetable.
Don't forget the wonderful vegetable of Miracle Whip and Hellman's mayonnaise. Those are...
Yeah.
Cheese, that's another standard a vegetable. So,
My first wife's father was a really cool guy, and I never saw anybody eat a salad dry except for this gentleman. And he said, you people don't like salad. You like salad dressing.
Yeah.
He has a point, but at the same time, even I, your friendly neighborhood, almost a vegan, but not quite, I have to have a little splash of something on there, a little oil and vinegar, just a little something, a splash of lemon juice or something on there.
Now, do you eat pasta? Do you eat pasta?
Yes.
Now, I would assume it's the non-egg pasta, right?
Yes. If I can find it, the and there's a lot out there. I would eat pasta is not what it used to be anymore because you have so many varieties. You have pasta made out of different kinds of flour, rice flour, corn flour, oat flour. You have it made out of bean flour.
Semolina.
Semolina, et cetera, so, yeah, there's a marvelous cacophony of different varieties of pasta. Pasta.
Mm. Pasta.
And you have, you can pasta. You can make pasta out of vegetables. You know, you have to have carrot pasta where they'll put it through a process. It's carrots and vegetable, and you just put it through there. You dehydrate it. You're good.
I know there's a spinach pasta and like a tomato-y pasta.
Yeah.
And,
there is.
But I didn't know there were that many varieties.
Tons of it. Yes. See, that's how you can get your vegetable day. Just put some pasta sauce all over it. You'll never know that you're eating green food. Fake pasta. You'll never know.
Sometimes you just have to adhere to your rules. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about celery? You like celery?
Yeah, when I go with peanut butter.
It's celery.
Great.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. It's good with peanut butter. Oh, yeah.
But see, I'm afraid of celery because celery is actually a negative calorie count. It takes more calorie to chew it and swallow it than it does to that it has in it.
Yeah.
So my theory is that if you eat enough celery, you could starve yourself to death.
That could be. I can give it a try. I think it's an efficient food. It has floss built right in it.
It does. Yeah.
Oh,
little stringy things. No, I love celery in soup.
Next time.
It helps flavor any kind of soup, whatever soup you're having.
Mm.
Celery gives it a nice tang.
Yes, the ever lovely Panacea chicken soup. Remember? Not the stuff that came out of the can, but the stuff that your parents, you saw an actual chicken going, not those tiny little cubes that the soup company put in there.
We just use chicken quarters to make our soup. We use chicken quarters. You know, you got to have the bones. You got to have the marrow to give it the flavor. But we make the soup from scratch.
My parents, for me as a child, before I threw up my hands and said, I'm not eating any more animals, and started protesting through the living room, they did make chicken soup, and it was tasty with large chicken. The chicken was parboiled.
Does it bother you when others eat animals?
No. No, I'm not one of those people who just frown at people and, you know, wag their finger in them. And at the same time, I got fed up as a teenager with people saying, you know, why are you eating this? And they kept questioning me. Finally, I learned to get a particularly Marvin Martian dirty look on my face to knock that off, because I'm sitting here, I'm eating my food, just,
and if it's,
you know,
what you like, then what the hell, who the hell cares? You know what
that
I mean?
That was my opinion, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care if you go out into the woods and eat a raw moose.
Oh, God. Raw moose.
I mean, I feel badly for the moose.
What if you just ate his antler?
You know,
I try to look at things naturally. We're unnatural animals. We are humans, okay? And there are some animals that eat other animals. That's how they survive. Part of the circle of life. You know, unfortunately, humans have advantages, like weapons and things. We can control, whether it's fortunate, unfortunate, necessary, unnecessary, I don't know, but this is how we get many people who like animals get their stuff by farming and other means. I don't know.
I would think that, you know, the way you have your garden and your yard and you dote on it and everything, I'm surprised you don't have a little, or would you be allowed to keep bees on your property?
Me, no, but I know a friend of mine is a beekeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. It depends on how you're feeling, but you probably couldn't have honey. You could probably have the royal jelly, though.
Yeah, I think you got to make the honey, don't you, out of the royal jelly?
No, I think she means because your diabetes. Because your diabetes, I think, is what she means, right?
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Hmm. Yeah, it'd probably not be that good for me. I don't know.
Well, it depends. I mean, you can use it for cooking. You can probably cook a lot of the sugar content out and still get the flavor.
Yeah. Natural sugars also I don't have as much trouble with, like real big spikes from it or anything, because I certainly get that with, like, your unnatural stuff. You know what I mean? Like, for example, recently we got a cake for my daughter's birthday. It was a pre-made cake. So, you know, there's some processed sugar and stuff in there, right? But they're pre-made frosting and what have you.
Right, right.
But, like, natural sugars, I don't seem to get bad readings afterwards.
But, for example, instead of processed white sugar, have you had the raw brown sugar? Does that not spike you as badly as the plain white sugar?
Probably about the same, because now you're usually talking when I have something that has brown sugar and it's like cookies or something, and yeah, that's gonna spike things. So I have to not gorge upon them.
So there's certain sugars, probably like certain fruits you can eat.
Oh, yeah.
Apples,
in fact, fruit is highly
pears.
Recommended. Because, again, that's a more natural sugar. Like, well, once in a while I get these little baby, what do they call those, tangelos or whatever. They look like baby oranges. Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
Those don't give me any trouble.
Mutant.
Yeah.
Yes, the mutant thing. It's a tangerine and an orange who are mutated together and
Came
up with a tangelo.
Yes. I like them.
I don't know if either of you ever had it in your supermarket in the market area, but there was something called UFO peaches.
Don't remember seeing those.
They were peaches, and the way they were grown, they were flat, round, a flying saucer.
Oh, wow.
I guess they didn't take off. I used to buy them all. Yeah, but a peach. Yeah, I liked them. I thought they were cool. But I guess it never took off. I haven't seen them in ages. But yeah, I don't know. Yes, we should experiment with you and see. Okay, we'll listen to you over the phone, and if we hear a thud, that means you've had too much sugar or not enough sugar.
I don't notice physically as much when my sugar's running high. I mean, I do. If it's like super high, I do. I generally fall asleep when it gets too high. Yeah, seriously. I remember we went to what you call Fest, Dave, down in Little Italy there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we had some this linguine and clams. I had. Oh my gosh, and then they brought out all this other stuff, a big, huge stuffed Italian stuffed pepper, like the long, skinny kind, spicy with all kinds of sauce on. But that also was loaded with cheese, which, believe it or not, cheese has lots of sugar, as does milk in its content.
Oh, yeah, milk sugar.
Yep. And my wife is sending me pictures of someone feeding a monitor lizard. Well, you're talking about meat eaters. But also somebody feeding a 106-year-old tortoise. Okay. That woman's insane. She'll mother anything. She thinks of all of her babies. Every animal is one of her babies. It's insanity.
Aww.
Yep.
Aww. And that's why she married you. She says, oh, look at that poor stray guy there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess I'll marry him.
Yeah, I better. This thing's so stupid he'll kill himself.
Well, guys, with that said, how can I top myself? I must be away.
Well, thank you for calling in tonight.
Oh,
yes.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Yes, I'll try to be more vigilant should the workplace allow. I can sneak away and pretend I'm working and listening to you guys. You know, pretend I'm working.
That a girl.
Pretend I'm working.
That a girl.
Yeah, you know, just like the CEO, if they're pretending they're working while they're getting a six-figure paycheck, we're doing all the work. We're just the grunts in the trenches.
Yep.
So without further ado, I think by the next time will Groundhog Day be here next time we meet?
It will be thereabouts, yes. I don't know. Yeah, Groundhog Day is our next show, Friday night. With Queens.
Queens, yes. So, yes, Your Royal Majesty shall do her utmost to have an audience with the peasantry.
Yep.
Huzzah, huzzah, huzzah.
That's right.
That being said, Mr. Durante, you have our leave to take it away.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say
good night.
You ever watch a 106-year-old tortoise eating?
Very slowly.
Yep.
What
more
is this safe but good night?
Good night.
We've had a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo. Ari,
toodaloo,
toodaloo. And in particular,
toodaloo, yeah. That's mortifying.
Good night.
Well, folks.
development this is.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
She likes cabbage, Mrs. Calabash does.
Good for her.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week, when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.
Arrivederci. Hasta la vista.
Adios.
Adios, muchachos, caballeros de la vida.
You get out of here.